Hello mga kababayan! Ika-siyam na po't siyam na yugto na po natin ngayon sa Usapang Pinoy, hatid sa inyo ng Georgia Asian Times. Ako po si Jane Rowland, ang inyong podcaster, and thank you for tuning in once again. Ang ating pong yugto ngayon ay katuloy ng ating tribute sa ating mga OFWs, Overseas Filipino Workers. Katulad po ng sabi ko nung nakaraang episode, karapat-dapat lamang nabigyan sila ng pagpapahalaga, respeto at pagmamahal, hindi lamang dahil sila ang pinakamalaking contributor sa Philippine economy, kundi masyado pong malaki ang kanilang mga sakripisyo. I want to share one more time that the OFW's remittances are not just personal transfers of money, they are one of the key lifelines of the Philippine economy. According to Banco Central ng Pilipinas, OFW sent a record high $38.3 billion in remittances in 2024, equivalent to 8.3% of the country's GDP. This figure surpasses foreign direct investments and even hot money inflows by wide margins, establishing remittances as the cornerstone of the economy. In light of the Filipino-American History Month celebration in October, we are highlighting and paying tribute to our modern-day heroes, our OFWs. Ang ating pong bisita ngayon ay si Anabella Estrada, isang OFW who started as a nanny for years, faced numerous challenges, and now works as a chef at St. Regis Atlanta Hotel. Bago ko pa siya tawagin, narito po ang first half of ang calendar of events ng Filipino-American History Month. Yung kadugtong po ay sa ating susunod na kabanata. Sa October 18 po is the Parol or Lantern Making Festival, alauna, 1 o'clock, sa Lucky Shoals Community Center, 4651 Bridge Road, Norcross, Georgia, 30093. Sa October 20 naman po is Warner Robins Farm FM Proclamation sa Mayor's Office po. 4 p.m. po sa Warner Robins City Hall, 700 Watson Boulevard, Warner Robins, Georgia. Sa October 25 naman po ay ang Bayanihan Fests at 11 a.m. sa Uptown Atlanta, 575 Main Street, Atlanta, Georgia, 30324. So, ako po ay magbabalik upang tawagin ating guest podcaster. Welcome back mga kababayan. Ngayon po, please help me welcome our guest, Anabella Estrada, who will talk about the life of an OFW. Welcome Anabella, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me and I'm so thankful for today and telling my story and a little bit and to encourage the young people for today and I'm so thankful.
You're welcome. We are excited to hear from you and to hear your story. So let's go ahead and dive into our conversation. Please give a short introduction about yourself and what you do.
Yes. My name is Anabella Estrada. I'm born and raised in the Philippines. I grew up and my mom raised me by a single mom. And I live in the farm and we do all the farming and everything. So basically, I was 6-7 years old. I kind of know the farming job and everything. So it's a hard job for us, for me, my mom, and my brother. But I'm so thankful that I was raised by a strong, loving, caring mom. And I consider that as a double blessing. So from there, my life is just, it's not easy growing up without a dad. So I can tell you that. So for me, my story is a little bit harder than most of the kids growing up because mostly I went to school, I went to elementary, and then after school, I didn't really enjoy my childhood. Basically, I come from school, then straight to the farm in doing all the, you know, attending the goat, everything, the farming work. So I don't really play, you know, I don't like most of, you know,
right,
the young kids. Yes.
Yes, I understand.
And now, yes.
So in our previous conversation, you mentioned you started as a nanny in different countries before you moved to the U.S. When was that, and how did you get those jobs?
Oh, okay. So from there, so from high school, and then when I graduated in high school, I really want to like run away, because when I asked my mom and my brother at the time, because I want to really continue my study, and for me, education is really important.
Right.
But then when they told me that they cannot afford, you know, to send me to college, so I kind of like, I already said in my mind, like, I want to run away after that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really run away. I told my mom, and I went to Bulacan. Mm-hmm. It's close to Manila at the time.
Right.
So from there, I worked with one of the wealthy family there that really, like, kind of adopted me. Mm-hmm. So I learned how to cook. At the same time, I went to school at night. So I support myself.
Wow.
So after graduating that, I transitioned to going home and visit my mom. So at that time, I had an aunt working in Singapore at the time. Mm-hmm. So so she told me she came. I think she went for vacation, and then she told me, if you want to work in Singapore. So I said yes, because I really want to get out. You know, just like, I have so many things. I have so many dreams like everybody else. So eventually I said yes. So my aunt really helped me at the time. 1980s, I went to Singapore. Mm-hmm. So that year, 1980s to I think 9 years to stay in Singapore. But from there, it's really hard again, because the communication, because I don't speak Mandarin.
Right.
So there's already problem in that. So kind of like I have so many experience, bad experience, because I mean, eventually it's kind of abuse, but not physically abuse, but eventually they don't feed me. They don't really give me a days off, and my boss at the time. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So once, from Singapore, did you come directly to the U.S. or did you go somewhere else?
No. So from Singapore, and then, so it kind of like before, it's like a cross country, something that after your contract, you can apply to either Hong Kong or like closest Asian countries. So I decided to from Singapore to Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, so in Hong Kong, there's a lot of Filipino also over there. But I have so many relatives. So from Singapore, and then I transition again to Hong Kong. So from 80s to 90s, so 89. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. If I can just tell you all the story, we won't have enough time, because all the details, like, because in Singapore, specifically, you don't really speak that fluent English, you mm-hmm. know, and you have to really adopt them, you know, instead of them learning, you learn Mandarin in a way, you know,
right.
It's a problem, you know, there's already a problem, but for us, you know, mm-hmm. we really know how to be patient, you know.
Right.
So we are, yeah.
So after Hong Kong, did you come directly to the U.S. or did you go somewhere else?
No, I didn't. From Hong Kong, I stayed in Hong Kong for 9 years.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
You stayed there as a nanny or as a...
As a nanny.
Okay.
Yes, as a nanny and a housekeeper, whatever you need. Mm-hmm. So, but it's not just when you apply a nanny, when you apply a housekeeper, that's not really what you're doing all around.
You
whatever
do everything.
Your boss tells
yes.
you. Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, I mean, you have to expect that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's still again, you know, it's not just your employer. You have to serve their family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's a tough situation. And I'm telling you, it's
right.
really, really hard.
Yeah, I understand. So was that the last job you had before you came to the U.S.?
That's yes. From there, I transitioned again to like, because my boss are Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time when I kind of like lost my job, because I also have another problem over there. It's not really a problem, but the abuse again in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
So I even went to the court for that. And for me, that's, yeah. And that's the most nerve-wracking for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like...
When you say abuse, what did they do that made you take them to court?
Okay. Because you're not allowed to speak to them, no? And when you try to explain, or because at the time I'm not the only employee, mm-hmm. I have another Filipina mm-hmm. working with them because they are tycoon, they are wealthy,
mm-hmm.
and for me, you cannot like stand up and pretend nothing because you are okay. I'm okay. I don't have a problem with my boss,
mm-hmm.
but the other Filipino, my coworker, kababayan natin yun. Mm-hmm. You know, I cannot just stand and. No, for me, because I tell myself abuse and any form of abuse, I cannot take it. I have in my brain, I say I have to fight for it.
Right.
I have to speak up. But in the end, I'm the one like you know, I have to stood up for somebody else. So we both lost that job, but I'm the one who went to the court because they didn't pay us when. You know, we lost that job.
Mm-hmm.
They fire you.
Right.
They didn't pay you. They didn't pay us, but they're supposed to pay. That's legality.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, they are both lawyers. So can you imagine that? Like contrary to what we are doing, and they are the one supposed to be know the laws, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So did you win that case? Did they eventually pay you? Okay.
I did. Yes, I did. Both my employer came to the court
mm-hmm.
and paid us. Because for me, you know, it doesn't matter. Like for that experience for me, abuse is abuse. Either you are the lawyer or whatever your title is.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned to, all my experience, I learned to speak up.
Right, right.
With honesty, with integrity, because you have to. You have to. It's not just for yourself.
That's right. That's
and very, for others too. Yes.
That's very noble of you. So from there, did you have to go home to the Philippines again, or did you come directly to the U.S.?
So at the time when I still in Hong Kong, my aunt lived next building, next to the building that I worked.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said that somebody, an American, looking for somebody cook for him.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, I don't have a job. I live with her. Like, I stay like maybe around 2 months.
Right.
Because I was looking for a job. So when she said that somebody's looking an American family, but he said he's the CEO thing, it's by himself, but his family is from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to try and then went to apply. And then first interview, I did get the job.
You got then, it. You got wait, it at wait. First.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I started right away, actually. Yeah, I got the job. And then later on when he hired me, I went back home. So because I need to go home first before they can finalize the process of... You know, my paper. You have to exit.
Okay. All right. So from there, then you came directly to the U.S. Then.
No, I went back again to Hong Kong.
Okay.
To work for him. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, but it's not easy to for my boss, the my American employer, for me to hire me just like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was denied 3 times in the embassy over the U.S. embassy.
Mm-hmm. So when did you finally get to the U.S.?
Oh, 1999.
Okay, and you came...
1999, yes.
Excuse me, and you came with his family or with just him from Hong Kong?
From Hong Kong, 1999, I came in the U.S. And that's... February 12th, actually, that's my birthday.
Mm.
When I came to the U.S. and the kids at the time, Raymond and Charlie, 2 to 3 years old, those boys, God really used them because when they saw me the first time, they are begging their parents to bring Annabella to Atlanta. You know, it's really amazing the way how, you know, your life turn around.
Right.
And they're begging their parents. So my boss at the time, he's trying everything, because as I told you, 3 times I was denied. The application denied 3 times. But the last time my boss did is he used his company. Mm-hmm. He used his company to hire me. And when the application that he put private chef and the application, that's where they granted my application. So for me, I didn't really tell the whole thing, but can you imagine? I was not even a chef at the time.
But you are now.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to tell you, because I mean, there's so many things going on. There's so many things that, no, it takes me, I'm 61 now, so it takes me 61 for me to tell the whole story, but I'm just, you know, paraphrasing the whole summary of my life, you know.
I understand. So when did you transition from, do you still work with them or while you're working at the hotel, or did you just totally transfer?
There's another story of that, because, okay, at the time when I came here, 2002, I left with them. Mm-hmm. Because remember September 11 happened?
Right.
So at the time September 11 happened, my boss company filed bankruptcy.
Okay.
So at the time, my paperwork is still in the immigration. I mean, I don't have a green card at the time. Mm-hmm. But my paperwork are all in the process. So for me, I have to find quick another employer.
Right.
So because after September 11, all the immigration policy changes. So right. For me, I have to find quickly. So that way, you know, I can stay here. If not, I can go home. Mm-hmm. That's the advice of my lawyer. So that's where the hotel related to me now, because when I lost the job, the next door that I used to babysit, they are Jewish. Mm-hmm. So they said that somebody's looking for a nanny. So for me, I just, okay, I'm going to apply. So that's where the story takes place, where I am right now, because the employer that I have before, after I came to the U.S., is the owner, and he built that hotel, St. Regis.
Okay, all right. So that's where the story goes. So now you've been there since, you said, since it was built, 2009?
Yes, because my prior to that, that hotel that built, I worked with my employer for the one who built for almost, I think, 2002. Mm-hmm. Until that hotel built.
Great, and congratulations. But we do realize, though, everybody realizes from the Philippine community, that whoever comes here, whether you're an OFW or a professional, yeah, you always help, yeah, your family back home. So how many people have you been supporting since you left and since you were working in Hong Kong?
Basically, my brother, mm-hmm, my sister-in-law, and my nephew. I have 2 nephews and 2 nieces. Mm-hmm. I support all of them. It's not just for me. It's not just my family. It's also the community that I grew up.
Right.
Yeah. As much as I can, you know. Even though I was not, like, vacationing every year, I make sure when my mom is still alive, I make sure that every Christmas, mm-hmm, like, I send, like, every house.
Oh my God.
In honor of my mom, I send money, make sure that they have rice.
To your neighbors?
Yeah, the whole community. I'm still doing this to this day.
Gosh.
When I went home, I think 2 years ago, I feed the whole community.
Oh my gosh.
Where I grew up. And guess what? We use the community like barrio hall. I don't know how you say that, like a community building, like a barrio hall, like,
right,
you
right
know, now, because, yeah, So, because that land donated by my mom too.
Oh, wow. It's the barangay hall.
Yes, it's the barangay hall. So the entire barangay hall, like every table and houses, like collecting all the table or whatever. So that's where I did it. Like all my uncles are my assistant, like a sous chef. Like, you know, I'm the head chef. But what I'm saying is, like, I feed all the children, like house to house, like all families, the kids, the Lolas, everybody.
That's
and
great.
We eat all the banana leaves, like the table.
Kamayan.
We cover them with banana leaves, kamayan.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, yung timba, I know, I don't know how you call that, yung, it's Ilocano timba.
Mm-hmm.
Yung ano.
Pale?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I we put that, no utensil, nothing. Mm-hmm. We eat by hand.
Yeah. So in Ilocano is agkamat. In Tagalog, magkamay.
Yeah. Yes. So when they shocked when I did that. Mm-hmm. I said, why are you shocked? Because that's where we grew up, and I'm returning, and I'm reminding all of you, not to forget where we came from.
That's very noble. You're giving back to the community, but also telling them that we shouldn't. You're also giving them a lesson.
Not, yes.
So we recognize your sacrifices, the challenges, and the loneliness of being away from your family. So how do you cope up with that?
My faith in God. That's, it's really important to know God for yourself. It's not just your family know God. It's not your uncle. It's not, you have to know God for yourself, because that's your life can turn around in every angle. And I'm telling you that. And everyone that, like kids, adults, Lolas, and everything.
Right.
Our life is the center. No, God is the center.
That's
in
true.
The beginning. That's what in the Bible. In the beginning, God, no?
That's true.
It's not like in the beginning, Jane or Annabella. Mm-hmm. So from there, it's just simple. For me, growing up, it's complicated to understand God, because we grew up as a Catholic, Simba tayo, every Sunday, most of the time. But that's not how you know God. You know God for your experience.
That's true.
Very true. Yeah, and for me, the big deal for me is love and forgiveness are one. Isa lang yun.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah, so that's how I cope up everything. God is the center of my life. For me, even to this day, it remind myself, like, Lord, please, don't make me arrogant.
Oh, wow.
I said, that's my prayer every single day, like, Lord, remind me of who I am and who you are. Don't take anyone for granted.
You have a beautiful
heart. Don't take the credit yet.
You have a beautiful heart. So knowing your pain and sacrifices as the breadwinner and the hope of your family for a very long time, what advice can you give the other Filipino workers who are in the same situation?
Again, for me, my advice is to know God for yourself. That's the most important. That's the most important thing. And to learn to forgive yourself, forgive your family, because forgiveness and love, you cannot love and you cannot, the two are not separate. The two are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Love and forgiveness are always in one. You cannot love and then at the same time
not forgive. Yes, I understand.
You cannot forgive. So from, and then honor your parents.
That's right.
Love and respect your parents, because that's the first blessing of God. Mm-hmm. If you don't do that, the rest, and then I'm telling you, the rest, it doesn't work. It doesn't matter how educated you are, how wealthy you are.
That's right.
That's not.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that, because we do have to put God in the center of our lives. With that said, I will let you go. And can you give any parting words for our listeners?
For any listener, for me, love people, because loving people It's the same thing like loving God and loving people, love others.
That's right.
God says, love your neighbor as yourself.
As you love yourself.
So for me, yes, that's the summary of your life and my life.
That's very true. Well, thank you so much. With that said, I want to thank you for spending time with us this morning and sharing with us this very personal and difficult topic. Know that with your willingness to talk about it will help and inspire thousands of OFWs, not only in this country, but all over the world. Maraming salamat, Annabella.
Maraming salamat. And it's an honor for me. No, really, I'm so blessed.
Thank you so much.
You.
Ngayon po mga kababayan, because it is Filipino-American History Month, I would like to share with you one important fact that is not widely known in the Phil-Am community. I mentioned this a couple of years ago in a welcome address at the Chambers event, but people didn't seem to believe. So there is a U.S. historical marker at Manila Village in San Bernard Parish, Louisiana. St. Malo was the first formal Filipino settlement in North America. It is believed to have been settled by Manila men, who were indentured servants to the Spanish trading ships. They arrived in Louisiana in the early 1700s. And the historical marker reads, at the turn of the 19th century, in nearby Barataria Bay, a group of Filipinos built raised structures on stilts above water, which became known as Manila Village. These shrimp drying platform structures became one of the forerunners of the Louisiana shrimp drying industry. Local fisherman Quintin de la Cruz spearheaded the construction and development of Manila Village. The platform community flourished for several decades until Hurricane Betsy completely destroyed it in 1965. Other settlements were subsequently established by descendants of the original Manila men and latter arrivals who escaped their Spanish colonizers, or were marooned in the area similar to the fate of Los Islenos, Canary Island men who were marooned by the Spaniards. They settled in the areas east and southeast of New Orleans in fishing villages referred to as Manila Village. Yun lang po mga kababayan. I hope you like that story. Salamat po sa inyong pakikinig sa Usapang Pinoy at sana po ay lagi kayong makinig at makibahagi sa ating usapan. Abangan po ang mga susunod na kabanata. Maraming salamat po. Hanggang sa muli, paalam muna sa ngayon.